This is the Transmission Times, radio diaries during COVID-19.
What I remember most from this pandemic is probably the day that my husband woke up and did not feel well. And I said, you have to go get tested right away. He had a fever. I was in the home along with our two teenage boys. And so he went and got tested. And it took 9 days to get his results back, and he tested positive. And that was like super scary that all that time he was positive and we were just hanging out in the home together, even though he was quarantining and sleeping downstairs and wearing a mask in the house. It just really brought it all into reality that this is real and this can happen.
I have a friend who keeps sending me like a Facebook post from somebody describing their experience with the virus. All of them, the ones that go through this and share their experience, they're like, hey, this is not fun. This was not a pleasant experience. And the thing that I noticed all of them say is the emotional toll it takes on you, because you're kind of having this virus that everybody's talking about, and you know it can be dangerous, and you don't know how bad it's gonna get for you, and you don't know if you should go to the hospital or not, or when to go. And all of them had a version of it being difficult to go through because you don't know if you made the right decision.
Thankfully, he recovered, and he's feeling much better. Everybody in our house is healthy. Nobody got sick. And I think what's come of it is that we can survive. We can do hard things in addition to just feeling remarkably grateful and blessed and appreciate what we have and don't take each other maybe for as granted as we usually might do sometimes when we think, oh, he'll be around forever, or we'll just be okay, that it is really, I think, strengthened our relationship and our family's relationships with each other.
My daughter asked us to come down and visit for a day so that she and her husband could do some chores. They have an 8-month-old baby, and he's a very active little fellow. And I recall having somebody that age that required every ounce of your energy all day long. And I felt so bad for her. She's preparing to go back to teach middle school, and anyone would be stressed about that thought. She is a good teacher, and if she doesn't go back, there's a loss. If she does go back, will she have to live in a tent like some other teachers I've read about are doing for their family? I just can't imagine making these choices.
I've been really diving into a lot of the stuff around this coronavirus. I just want to learn everything there is. And every time something gets pulled from social media or something, like where people were giving their testimonies or their experiences or sharing whatever it is they want to share, and as soon as that gets pulled, my flags go off. And I'm like, what is it that they don't want us to hear, right? So I want to know what that is. So I look for it. So I'll look into these things, and it's very controversial. And one day I'm sitting in the living room and I'm on my computer watching an interview with Dr. Andrew Wakefield, so who's very controversial. And my husband comes in, then without having heard anything, because I'm on my headphones, so he can't hear any of the interview. He doesn't know what's being said, but he recognizes this controversial figure. The moment he sees that, he scoffs, just this judgmental, contemptuous scoff. And this is the way it's been. Anytime I'm listening to anything other than what's mainstream, I get this like criticism or contempt, or it has just been building and I don't feel safe anymore. And it's like this man who is the kindest, most compassionate man I know is now full of anger and judgment and contempt. And I want my husband back. What happened? How did this virus destroy our relationship so easily? And I hope it's not destroyed. I hope it's not too far gone. I believe that the man that I love and married is still in there. I just haven't seen him in a while. And I miss him.
In a weird way, I'm glad I'm 34 when the pandemic hit. That it caught me at this phase of my life. Because I could see how difficult it would be to go through this as a teenager, maybe. Or like a young person who is very social and wants to explore, like going out and having fun and meeting people. And I can imagine it being so difficult to be in that phase of your life and to navigate this. And it's way easier when you have like the relationships and the people and your support system are people who you've known for years and you know that love you and accept you the way you are, and you do the same for them.
My son-in-law found out that he won't be going back to work in the hospital he does research in until June of 2021. And I congratulated him on knowing something about his future and how to prepare himself to work. But when I got home, I thought I should have been commiserating because Andrew is a very outgoing, friendly, engaged with people person. And to him, that must be more like a sentence. So it led me to thinking about how we all are experiencing deprivations differently during the pandemic. As an introvert and living with another introvert, we are okay, even we miss our small amount of social life that's outside our home. But those folks who are used to going out and need to be among people and places that are busy and full of social interactions and social possibilities are really suffering.
I heard 2 times now somebody saying that I would prefer not to meet friends than to meet them with a mask on. And when I asked a friend who said this, I asked her, do you find them uncomfortable or why is that? And she said, no, I can totally wear one in a store or like have one on for hours upon end, but it's psychological. Like I cannot accept the fact that we're at that stage where we meet people we care about with masks on.
It's one thing to be in the COVID-19 pandemic for going on 7 months. And it's another thing in Northern California to be experiencing a wildland fire season like we have never seen before here close to our home. We've been near fires for the last several years and it's been scary. And we've been dealing with evacuees and smoke. But this year with a fire right here in our community that's over 3,000 acres, on top of COVID and trying to run a local media organization, it's been challenging to say the least. The fire personally was very close to my home and it's in an evacuation warning area. One night a few weeks ago, we could see the flames shooting off the top of the ridge, and that was the closest I've come to freaking out. I got myself calmed down and just trying to stay focused on the task at hand and make sure my people are safe and that my family is safe. And I feel bad for my dog. He just doesn't get to go out and run around as much because they don't make little masks for dogs, and he doesn't understand what's going on. Except he does. He seems to know that the air quality is bad, and he seems to want to come in more easily than normal when he goes out to play in the yard.
California is burning up with forest fires. The Greenland ice shelf has melted beyond recovery. There's two tropical depressions in the Gulf of Mexico at the same time. People have plenty of reason to be anxious about the planet. Our democracy feels so fragile right now. And we have a pandemic raging around the globe. So I think we all have a layer of anxiety and stress that accompanies us everywhere we go, even in our sleep. My dreams have started to incorporate elements of the COVID pandemic, masked people in large groups, and frightening situations that have something to do with having to be careful around people. It's so unnatural. If you're a person who enjoys people and the world, to hold back all the time. And the stress, I think, just plays at the edges of everyone's being all day long.
It seems like the pandemic surely will shadow the rest of my life. And perhaps my children's, although, you know, at 10 and 6, especially for my son, the post-pandemic world will just be his world. It will just be normal. And therefore, masks and distancing and not doing big gatherings and doing a lot of things virtually would become normal. And it makes me really sad to think that could be the normal world for anyone, and especially my kids. It seems almost impossible to think that human beings could survive in the bizarre draconian conditions we've been living in for the past 5.5 months, especially the first couple of months. I mean, it's eased a lot here now, but even this seems very weird, very uneasy, and I would hate to think my children's lives are just absolutely going to be constantly in this state of unease.
Something that's helped me to move through this pandemic is remembering that we're all going through it at the same time. This is a completely shared experience, and how we're processing or feeling about that shared experience is different. But I mean, even, you know, when the UPS driver pulls up to the house and gets out of the van, I go, oh yeah, they are also going through this pandemic. And when I drive down the road and I see for a moment the person who's driving opposite me, I see their face and I go, oh, they're also going through this pandemic. And remembering that has sort of helped me to get through it, because it really is a battle that we are all waging every day in different ways, at home and abroad.
I've noticed I've started marking time based on the pandemic. So the common phrase is, when this is all over. But I contemplate that and I think, but what does that mean, until what is over? Pandemic? Because if you look at the CDC website, all of the data suggests that the pandemic, in what a pandemic means by definition, is actually over. So are we just waiting for a vaccine until this is over? This being the time that we don't have a vaccine? This being the time where we have to remote teach our children, this being the time where you have to wear a mask everywhere and people judging you if you don't wear a mask or whatever. It's so unclear what this is until this is all over.
We've had fires here. It's the first day we've been able to even be outside in quite some time, probably a couple weeks at least. And I'm thinking about how time has taken on this really strange quality of sometimes feeling like days have whizzed by and then other times like it's standing still, like we're waiting for this whole thing to be over. And I'm finding that I'm learning to embrace just accepting that it's weird and not over-performing, over-functioning, as Brené Brown would say, but trying to insert some moments of joy in each day and not just have this list of things I need to accomplish. So I'm sitting outside, listening to the birds chirp, and wondering what it will be like in a month or two.
Cameron, do you have any ideas about how time has altered during the pandemic?
It's slower, I guess.
How do you feel about it?
Good.
I like it too, in some sense. Well, it's really weird. I keep feeling like I'm 2 weeks behind on everything. I can't get anything done.
That's because you have to work.
I know, but... So when you're a kid, it doesn't factor into anything, does it?
Mm-hmm. A little bit, not really.
The word this just comes up all the time, you know, when I'm talking to friends or family and we're talking about going somewhere, doing something, or lack thereof, because of everything that's going on, this thing that's going on, that's such a common phrase I find myself saying, and people saying to me is, oh, you know, we can't go there because of everything that's going on. Or, yeah, school looks different, but, you know, it's just because of everything going on. And it's everything that's going on. And they're just these phrases that now have injected themselves into our daily conversations. I mean, not a day goes by that I don't hear that phrase or say it myself.
And this has been the one thing that is universal. Everybody I know is having trouble losing track of time, not knowing what day it is. Even people who've gotten back to work in a very, you know, formal schedule are forgetting things. They can't remember people's names. It's just a real brain fog kind of thing going on for everyone. So I guess we're all a little bit dysregulated. But I'm surprised that it's still happening.
Coronavirus has become the tether of time. Everything is in orbit around coronavirus. Whether we like it or not, I'm in the camp of I don't like it. And this is where we are as a world, where a little spiky ball that's microscopic is ruling our lives and our day-to-day.
This first week of September, I've been staying with my dog at a house next to a tidal river. Being here in this place where the only sound is the voices of the gulls, crows, ducks, and early in the morning, the lobster boat motors, has made the pandemic float almost entirely away.
This week, I packed up a lot of things and drove north, spending 2 weeks in New Jersey and then heading to Maine for 3+ weeks. In normal world, pre-pandemic, I wouldn't have taken a 5-week trip. I would have taken multiple shorter trips. Or if I did take a 5-week trip, I would have packed a giant suitcase, probably quit my job, and that's about it. But packing during a pandemic, or like moving one's life, for me, consists of packing, in no particular order, 2 seasons worth of clothing. So not just summer clothing, but fall clothing and socks that I haven't seen in a long time. Packing up food, like a bunch of meat, bunch of veggies, my bunch of spices, bunch of condiments, bunch of oils and vinegars. Like all of this stuff gets put in bags and then gets put in my car. I have brought all of my work stuff, my printer, my giant monitor, my ergonomic keyboard, my ergonomic mouse. This all just goes into the car. And the car is relatively full, and it's just me, and I feel like a turtle. Like, I'm lucky that I can put all my stuff into a car that functions and drives, but as I was driving, I was thinking about how, like, entirely logical it felt. Like, all the stuff I brought, it's so, like, logical. And then you kind of get out of your head for a minute, and you're like, this is totally nuts.
I brought enough food so I only had to venture into mask land once. I was only vaguely aware of how stressed and tired this time of coronavirus has made me these past 6 months. The presence of the herons, cormorants, gulls, kingfishers, seal, and the fantastic shifting of the tides has almost erased the pain. How odd to feel centered at this strange moment in time we're living in, but it is palpable. My hope is that I can take this inner calm, this awareness of life meaning that only the natural world can give, into the upcoming months when soon I'll have to shelter in place again, very possibly the way I lived from mid-March until June.
I think it just kind of illustrates how, like, there is so much absurdity going on right now. There's reasons why we're doing everything. But when you step back and look at it, it feels so absurd. And it is absurd compared to the way we used to live. And yet we are all just being like, oh yeah, this is what we do now.
We're out of food, so we ordered a pizza. We paid with cash, so we put our hands on the cash, paid the guy. We took the boxes, we put them on the table with the sauces and everything. And we just started eating. Not halfway through, but after a few bites, my boyfriend was like, shouldn't we heat this up or like wash our hands or anything? We kind of stopped, looked at each other, and were like, oh well, let's just keep on eating. It was just a moment of to hell with everything. Let's just eat and enjoy it. I was thinking afterwards, like, how ironic would it be? Like, if this were the way we would end up having corona, I think it was meant to be.
I think what is interesting to me to see is that I've become a little bit more radicalized. And people might think it's a lot more radicalized, but I was always pretty radical. I just didn't talk about it as openly as I do now. I guess what's different for me is I used to feel bad about making people uncomfortable or challenging people, but I don't anymore. It's too serious. It's too serious. I've taken off the gloves and I'm not playing anymore. So when a family member says to me that they believe in mandatory vaccinations, if they think I'm going to be silent about that, they're crazy.
Masks now, it's like it's opened this door into a different kind of judgment and this other way of categorizing people and ostracizing. You know, this person wears a mask, this one doesn't. This one wears a mask when they're walking down the street by themselves, and then these people are in a small family gathering wearing no masks. Or, you know, this person wears gloves to the grocery store and this person doesn't. There's now this opportunity for division and discrimination. And that's what bothers me. That's what disturbs me.
And that's what I pray about all the time, is that when we go to normal, quote unquote, that we are actually better versions of ourselves and not more judgmental and more exclusive, maybe. I just hope we come out of this more united and not more divided.
I'd like to say a huge thank you to Kelly, Britta, Karen, Amanda, Christina, Brianna, Anna, Joan, Lindsay and Cameron, another Amanda, Diane, and Laura, whose voices are coming to you from Maine, Wisconsin, New Hampshire, California, Pennsylvania, Arizona, New Jersey, and Romania. Since the beginning of lockdown, the Transmission Times has been collecting audio diaries from people around the world. But there are many stories we haven't heard. If yours is one of them, we'd love to hear from you. Right now, we'd love to hear what surprised you during this pandemic. You can send your replies to us in one of two ways. You can record on your smartphone using an app like Voice Memos and email it to us at transmissiontimes@gmail.com. Or you can call 847-354-4163 and leave a voicemail. Thank you. The Transmission Times is created by me, Katie Semrow. Where we've all been.